Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Daya Goro More Toma Vena Te Dayalo Jacket Sam Patita Prabhu Tapai Vehara Afata Pune Chananda Premananda Sukhi Kripa Balakana Abhivarudhupi Daya Guru Sitapati Advaita Gosari Dava Kripa Pore Pai Chaitanya Nita
Jai Om Vishnu Pada Paramahansa Paramahacharya also Tela Satoshi Shimai is Divine Grace Abhaya Charanada Bhaktivedanta Gosami Srila Prabhupada Kijai ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kijai Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrindagajai Namacharya Shri Haridas Thakur Vijay. Premse Gaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sidwaita Garadha Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrindigajai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopikapadna Shayam Kun Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Gijai Vrindavanam Kijai Maturam Kijai Jagannathasami Kijai Yamunamai Kajai Shimati Dalasi Devi Gajai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Gajai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bom. All glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guruin Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale. Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nivashesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deja Tarani. So, Omagana Timidandasha Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Miditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. As I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge, while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So, we are going to continue with our study of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. We had an interesting discussion at the end of yesterday's class, and there's many more quotes I can give you that justify this. There's one more quote. Where is this quote? Wow. Where is this quote? Oh. Mm-hmm. Hold on a second. What? Anyway. Oh, yeah. I mean, the main thing is that in the Chaitanya, in the Nectar Devotion, Srila Prabhupada talks about renovating our relationship with Krishna. Anyway, I don't want to get more into this controversial point tonight, as we will be spending time in other pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay, let's start. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Okay, so let us start with text 34 of the first chapter of the Majjhalila of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Yesterday we started the first chapter, now we're on text 34. And we're actually talking about the Goswamis of Vrindavan right now. Let's go. Prabhu Agnaya Koila Sabashastre Ravichara Vajera Niguda Bhakti Karila Prachara. The Goswamis carried out the preaching work of devotional service on the basis of an analytical study of all confidential Vedic literatures. This was in compliance with the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thus one can understand the most confidential devotional service of Vrindavan. So Prabhupada explains that this proves that bona fide devotional service is based on the conclusions of the Vedic literature. It is not based on the type of sentiment exhibited by the Prakrita Sahajiyas. The Prakrita Sahajiyas do not consult the Vedic literatures, and they are debauchees, woman hunters, and smokers of ganja. If you don't know what ganja is, it's marijuana. Sometimes they give a theatrical performance and cry for the Lord with tears in their eyes. Of course, all scriptural conclusions are washed off by those tears. The Prakrita Sahajas do not realize that they are violating the orders of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who specifically said that to understand Vrindavana and the pastimes of Vrindavana, one must have sufficient knowledge of the Shastras, Vedic literatures. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 2nd Chapter, Text 12, Bhakta Shruta Grihitya. This means that devotional service is acquired from Vedic knowledge, that's Shradana Munaya. Devotees who are actually serious attain Bhakta, scientific devotional service by hearing Vedic literatures, Bhakta Shruta Grihitya. It is not that one should create something out of sentimentality, become a sahajya, and advocate such concocted devotional service. However, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur considers such sahajyas to be more favorable than the impersonalists, who are hopelessly atheistic. The impersonalists have no idea of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The position of the sahajyas is far better than that of the Mayavadi sannyasis. Although the sahajyas do not think much of Vedic knowledge, they nonetheless have accepted Lord Krishna as the Supreme Lord. Unfortunately, they mislead others from authentic devotional service. This interesting verse. Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatrikim Vidhim Vina Aikantakir Harir Bhaktir Upatiyaiva Kalpate. That if one thinks or does what he thinks is devotional service and he's not following the Vedic injunctions, especially the injunctions in the Bhakti Shastras, then his devotional service, or so-called devotional service, is a disturbance to society. Very, very important point. So, let's see. Prakritasaja. Okay, let me describe what that is. Prakritasaja means someone who takes things very, very cheaply. They think they're on a very high level of devotional service and concentrate on the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, or even imitate the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, not understanding that one has to be on a very high level of devotional service before approaching Radha and Krishna. So they take things cheaply. Hari Bhakti Vilasa Ara Bhagavatamrita Dashama Tippaniara Dashama Chatita. Some of the books compiled by Srila Sanatana Goswami were the Hari Bhakti Vilas, Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Dashama Tipani, and Dashama Charita. So, Dasha in these cases means 10, referring to the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam commentaries. On the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Hari Bhakti Vilas contains instructions for Vaishnavas in different circumstances. Some of the injunctions in the Hari Bhakti Vilas are applicable to us now. Some of them are not. Some of them are applicable to those who are in India following a more ritualistic culture. So one has to have the intelligence to apply the injunctions in the Hari Bhakti Vilas. For example, the Hari Bhakti Vilas states that one should not eat carrots. I know it's carrots. One should not eat carrots. Yet, I'm eating carrots. Prabhupada ate carrots. Oh my God. So the reason it was mentioned in the Hari Bhakti Vilas that one should not eat carrots is that in India, the ritualistic brahmanas have this injunction that carrots are the bones and the blood of sages. And who wants to eat the bones and the blood of sages? I don't. So that's a ritualistic, brahminical conception. However, if we're preaching to ritualistic brahmanas, we want to look like we are paka. Now, for those of you who don't understand what the word paka is, we want to look like we know the rules. You know, we're not just like a bunch of unmannered slobs. So therefore, you know, if you're preaching to those people, don't eat carrots, you know. But otherwise, it's all right to eat carrots. You're in the Western world, or anywhere, even in India, it's all right to eat carrots. Just when you come across some of these, what we call smartas. No, a smarta doesn't mean someone who is smart. It just means someone who is addicted to following tiny rules that are not always applicable in every single circumstance and time. That's all. That's what a smart is. He has these rules, and some of the rules are useful. You know, Prabhupada told a story about how there was one useful smarta rule, but it wasn't useful in other circumstances. So here's the story. Once upon a time, many years ago, there was an expert Brahmin, and he was performing fire sacrifices. That means where you go, swaha, 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 oven, fire sacrifice, yajna, whatever you may call it. So he was performing them, but there was a cat. He had a pet cat. Pet cat's name was Tilak. And the pet cat kept trying to approach the fire really closely. Now, that's really not a good idea to have your cat get too close to the fire because cats have hair. Now, sometimes when I was cooking many years ago when I had a little more hair, the hair got singed. So this Brahmana, he decided, let me put a little dog collar on the cat. No, I'm just joking. A cat collar on the cat. And then he tied his cat to a tree. Okay. And the cat was protected. His faithful disciples, taking note of this, because they were taking notes at the same time, Guru Maharaj performs a fire sacrifice. And as he's performing a fire sacrifice, it's very important to have a cat. Very important to tie the cat to a nearby tree. Okay? And that went into the deity worship manual. Not of ISKCON, but, you know. And so for many generations, that was done in that Brahmana's disciplic succession. And when it was done, it was actually a very good idea. You don't want cats jumping in the fire or singeing their hair. But it really didn't have application outside of that time, place, and circumstance. So you find sometimes there are injunctions that are really good. Really, really good. And for that circumstance. And then after that, it really doesn't have any meaning. No carrots. Carrots contain plenty of vitamin A. They're good for the eyes. You should eat your carrots. Anyway. And there's other injunctions about not eating different root vegetables. I'm not going to get into all the injunctions. But an expert acharya, or someone with some brains, knows how to apply the injunctions in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, many of which, as Prabhupada said, were influenced by smarta conceptions. Not that he did anything wrong, not that Sanatana Goswami did anything wrong, but he understood how to build bridges to the smartas and get them into Krishna consciousness. We want everyone to chant, so we have to build bridges to different segments of society. You know, sometimes we may teach yoga to build a bridge to the yogis. Sometimes we may teach other things, astrology, just to build bridges, or Ayurveda. So this is part of strategy. It's strategic. Okay, and as far as the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it is a wonderful book. It is the foundational book of all the other books of the Goswamis. Brihad Bhagavatamrita has two parts to it. What are the two parts? One part is the story of Narada Muni looking for the best devotee of the Supreme Personality of God, and ultimately he comes to the gopis. And the other part is Gopa Kumar, a young cowherd boy looking to find his ultimate realization and traveling through all the different planets and places on this earth planet, ultimately coming back to home, back to Godhead, and then bringing another Brahmin at the end of the story to the spiritual world. And Gopa Kumar realizes his identity as a transcendental coward boy. Anyway, and Dashana Tipani and Dashama Charita are comments on the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So in the first wave of the book known as Bhakti Ratnakara, it is said that Sanatana Goswami understood Srimad Bhagavatam by thorough study and explained it in his commentary known as the Vaishnava Toshane. All the knowledge that Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami directly acquired from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was broadcast all over the world by their expert service. Sanatana Goswami gave his Vaishnava Toshani commentary to Srila Jiva Goswami for editing, and Srila Jiva Goswami edited this under the name of Lahu Toshani. Whatever he immediately put down in writing was finished in the year 1476, Shaka, which is A.D. 1576. 54. Srila Jiva Goswami completed the Lagu Toshini in the year Shakabda 1504, that's A.D. 1582. The subject matter of the Hari Bhakti Vilas by Sri Sanatan Goswami is collected by Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami and is known as Vaishnava Smriti. This Vaishnava Smriti Grantha means like a book, was finished. Smriti means to remember. Vaishnava is someone who worships Vishnu, Krishna. Was finished in 20 chapters known as Vilasas. In the first Vilas, there's a description of how a relationship is established between the spiritual master and the disciple, and mantras are explained. In the second Vilas, the process of initiation is described. In the third Vilas, the methods of Vaishnava behavior are given with emphasis on cleanliness, constant remembrance of the Supreme Personality of God, and the chanting of the mantras given by the initiating spiritual master. In the fourth Vilas are descriptions of Sangskara, the reformatory method. Reformatory method means, like when someone's born, you give them the name. When someone goes to school, you give them the chalk or the pencil. When someone gets married, you perform the marriage. That's pretty easy. And when someone gets dead, not gets dead, when someone leaves his body, you perform the funeral. These are some scars. Tilak, the application of 12 tilaks on 12 places of the body. That's it. Mudra, marks on the body, mala, chanting with beads, and guru puja, worship of the spiritual master. In the fifth vilas, one is instructed on how to make a place to sit for meditation, and there are descriptions of breathing exercises. Meditation and worship of the Shalagram Shila representation of Lord Vishnu. In the sixth vilas, the required practices for inviting the transcendental form of the Lord and bathing him are given. In the seventh vilas, one is instructed on how to collect flowers used for the worship of Lord Vishnu. In the eighth vilas, there's a description of the deity and instructions on how to set up incense, light lamps, make offerings, dance, play music, beat drums, garland the deity, offer prayers and obeisances, and counteract offenses. In the ninth vilas, there are descriptions about collecting tulasi leaves, offering oblations to the forefathers according to Vaishnava rituals, and offering food. In the 10th vilas, there are descriptions of the devotees of the Lord. Vaishnavas are saintly persons. In the 11th vilas, there are elaborate descriptions of deity worship and the glories of the holy name of the Lord. One is instructed on how to chant the holy name of the deity, and there are discussions about offenses committed while chanting the holy name, along with methods for getting relief for such offenses. There are also descriptions of the glories of devotional service and the surrendering process. In the 12th vilas, Ekadashi is described. In the 13th vilas, fasting is discussed, as well as observance of the Mahadwadasi ceremony. In the 14th vilas, different duties for different months are outlined. In the 15th vilas, there are instructions on how to observe Ekadashi, fasting without even drinking water. There are also, as I mentioned before, Prabhupada, every time I was with Prabhupada, Prabhupada ate on Ekadashi, but no grains or beans, obviously. There are also descriptions, because Prabhupada considered preaching as the highest priority. There are also descriptions of branding the body with the symbols of Vishnu, discussions of Chaturmasa observations during the rainy season, and discussions of Janmashtami, Parshvaikadashi, Shravanadvadasi, Ram Navami, and Vijayadashami. Ram Navami is coming up. Vijayadashami is the celebration of Lord Ram's victory over Ravan. The 16th Vilasa discusses duties to be observed in the month of Kartika, October, November, or the Damodar month, or Urja, when lamps are offered to the deity room, or above the temple. There are also descriptions of the Govardhan Puja and Rath Yatra. The 17th Vilasa discusses preparations for deity worship, Maha Mantra chanting, the process of japa. In the 18th Vilasa, the different forms of Sri Vishnu are described. The 19th Vilasa discusses the establishment of the deity and the rituals observed in bathing the deity before installation. The 20th Vilasa discusses the construction of temples, referring to those constructed by the great devotees. The details of the Hari Bhakti Vilas Grantha are given by Sri Kaviraj Goswami in the Majalila, 24th chapter, 329 to 345. The descriptions given in those verses by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami are actually a description of those portions compiled by Gopal Bhatta Goswami. According to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the regulated principles of devotional service compiled by Gopal Bhatta Goswami do not strictly follow our Vaishnava principles. Actually, Gopal Bhatta Goswami collected only a summary of the elaborate descriptions of Vaishnava regulated principles from the Hari Bhakti Balas. It is Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami's opinion, however, that to follow the Hari Bhakti Balas strictly is to actually follow the Vaishnava rituals in perfect order. He claims that the Smarta Samaja, which is strictly followed by caste Brahmanas, has influenced portions that Gopal Bhatta Goswami collected from the original Hari Bhakti Balas. And that's really what I just said. Okay? That Smarta Samaja, I mean, the group of the people who are smart, the Brahmins. Smart, the Brahmins are very much into rituals, not considering which rituals are applicable, which rituals are not applicable, where we are, what time it is. You know, the rituals, they have like millions of rituals. And I remember there was one devotee who was so ritualistic. I was staying in the temple with him, and I couldn't get to the bathroom in the morning because he was calling all the Ganges down with his mantras. And he was in the shower for 45 minutes. And so by the time he got out of the shower, it was too late for Mangal Arati, and there was only cold water. Because, you know, calling the Ganges down for 45 minutes and heating the Ganges up, there's not going to be any more hot water in the hot water heater. Because the hot water heater is not Gomukh. Anyway, Gomukh means the mouth of the cow, is where the Ganges comes from in the Himalayas. It is therefore very difficult to find out Vaishnava directions from the book of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So in other words, it is better to consult the commentary made by Sanatana Goswami himself for the Hari Bhakti Balas under the name of Digdarshini Tika. Some say that the same commentary was compiled by Gopinath Pujari Agadikari, who was engaged in the service of Sri Radha Ramanji and who happened to be one of the disciples of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So who or what is Radha Ramanji? Radha Ramanji is the self-manifested deity of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. We told that story some time ago. Anyway, Gopal Bhatta Goswami collected 8 Shalagram Shilas from the Gandaki River in Nepal. Yeah. And he brought them back, and then he thought, I'm not qualified to worship these Shilas. So he went back to Nepal, put the Shilas back in the river, and the Shilas kept jumping back into his hands. So he understood that Shilas wanted to be worshipped by him. So he brought them back, but he always wanted a deity, you know, three-dimensional deity that he could dress. One day someone gave him a lot of clothes to dress the deity, and he was lamenting, I don't have any deity to dress. Next morning he woke up, and one of the Shilas, the Damodar Shila, actually became a deity, and that's Radha Ramanji. Regarding the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, there are 2 parts, both of which deal with the discharge of devotional service. First part is an analytical study of devotional service in which there is also a description of different planets, including the earth, the heavenly planets, Brahmaloka and Vaikunthaloka. There are also descriptions of the devotees, including intimate devotees, most intimate devotees, and complete devotees. So that's Narada Muni, looking for the best devotee. The second part describes the glories of the spiritual world known as Galoka Mahatmya Nirupana, amazing book. It's been published in ISKCON. Gopi Puranadana Prabhu has translated it and translated the commentary. And I highly recommend that book for everybody. I've read it a number of times. As well as the process of renunciation of the material world, it also describes real knowledge, devotional service, the spiritual world, love of God, attainment of life's destination, and the bliss of the world. In this way, there are 7 chapters in each part, 14 chapters in all. The Dashama Tipani is a commentary on the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Another name for this commentary is the Brihad Vaishnava Toshani Tika. In the Bhakti Ratnaka, it is said that the Dashama Tipani was finished in 1476, Shikabla, A.D. 1554. Okay? So, that's Sanatana Goswami. Esava Granta Kaila Goshani Sanatana Rupa Goshani Kaila Yata Ke Karu Ganana. We have already given the names of the 4 books compiled by Sanatana Goswami. Similarly, Srila Rupa Goswami has also compiled many books which no one can even count. I mean, amazing amount of books. Pradana Pradana Kichu Karye Ganana Lakshagrante Kaila Braja Vilasavarnana. I shall therefore enumerate the chief books compiled by Srila Rupa Goswami. He has described the pastimes of Vrindavan in 100,000 verses. Rasamrita Sindhu Aravidagda Madhava Ujavala Nilamani Ara Lalita Madhava. Wow. The books compiled by Sri Rupa Goswami include the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Vidagda Madhava, Ujjala Nilamani, and Lalita Madhava. Because Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is the same as the Nectar of Devotion, which Srila Prabhupada has commented on and translated. Vidagda Madhava deals with intimate pastimes between Madhava Krishna and Vrindavan. Ujjala Nilamani is the postgraduate study of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, or Nectar of Devotion. And Lalita Madhava deals with the pastimes, generally with the pastimes of Krishna when he leaves Vrindavan and goes to Dwarka. And it's an amazing, it's a play, actually. Both the Vidagda Madhava and Lalita Madhava are plays, theatrical performances. And here in Nugaloka, we did the Lalita Madhava. Not me, but we have an amazing troupe of great devotees, headed up by Champakalata, who has come from the spiritual world to actually teach these dancers to perform this these particular plays. And of course, recently, we did some really amazing things. The Mukta Charita, the pearl pastime. I mean, I'm still in ecstasy from watching it. So, Dana Kelly Komudi Arabahus Dvavali Astadasha Lila Chanda Arapajavali Govinda Virudavali Tahara Lakshana Mathura Mahatmya Aranataka Varnana. Srila Rupa Goswami also compiled the Dana Kelly Komudi. It's about text, pastime, stava, valiya, a compilation of verses. Lila Chanda, Chanda, about Krishna's Lila. Padyavali, another compilation of verses. Govinda Virudavali, glorification of Krishna. Mathura Mahatmya, glorification of Mathura, Vrindavan. And Nataka Varnanas, about dancing. Lagu Bhagavatam Ritari Ke Karuganana Savracha Karila Prajavilasa Varnana. Who can count the rest of the books headed by the Lagu Bhagavatam Rita, written by Srila Rupa Goswami? He has described the pastimes of Vrindavan and all of them. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati has given a description of these books. The Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is a great book of instruction on how to develop devotional service to Lord Krishna and follow the transcendental process. Of course, that's Nectar of Devotion. It was finished in the year 1463, Shakabda, that's 1541 our year. This book is divided into four parts: Purva Vibhaga, Eastern Division; Dakshina Vibhaga, Southern Division; Paschima Vibhaga, Western Division; and Uttara Vibhaga, Northern Division. So, we discuss this in our recordings of the Nectar of Devotion. In the Purva Vibhaga, there is a description of the permanent development of devotional service, the general principles of devotional service, the execution of devotional service, ecstasy in devotional service, and ultimately the attainment of love of God are described. In this way, there are four laharis, waves, in this division of the ocean of the Nectar of Devotion. In the Dakshina Vibhaga, the southern division, there is a general description of the mellow relationship called Bhakti Ras, which is derived from devotional service. There are descriptions of the stages known as Vibhava, Anubhava, Satvika, Vyavachari, and Staibhava, all on this high platform of devotional service. These are called bhavas, or emotions. There are five waves in the Dakshina Vibhaga division. In the Western division, Paschima Vibhaga, there is a description of the chief transcendental humors derived from devotional service. In other words, by the Shandaras, Dasharas, Sakiras, Vatsaliras, Madhuriras. These are known as Mukya Bhakti Rasa Nirupana, or direct attainment of the chief humors or feelings in the execution of devotional service. In that part, there's a description of devotional service and neutrality of Shandaras, further development in love and affection, called servitude, Dasharas, further development in fraternity, Sakiras, further development in parenthood, Vatsayaras, or parental love, and finally, conjugal love between Krishna and his devotees, Madhuryaras. Thus, there are five ways in the Western Division. In the Northern Division, Uttara Vibhaga, there is a description of the indirect mellows of devotional service, indirect rasas that we call, namely devotional service and laughter, devotional service and wonder, and devotional service in chivalry, pity, anger, dread, and ghastliness. There are also mixing of mellows and the transgression of different humors. Transgression means when you have improper mixture of different tastes in devotional service. Mellows means taste. Rasa means the same thing, taste. Thus, there are nine waves in this part. This is but a brief outline of the Bhakti Rasa Mrita Sindhu. The Vidagdha Madhava is a drama of Lord Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. Srila Rupa Goswami finished this book in the year 1454, Shakabda, that is 1532. The first part of this drama is called Venu Nada Vilas. It means a flute. The second part, Manmatha Leka. The third part, Radha Sangha. Wow. The fourth part, Venu Harana, means stealing the flute. And the fifth part, Radha Prasadana. The sixth part, Sharad Vihara. And the seventh and last part, Gauri Vihara. That's a pastime that took place at Gauri Kund, which, when you get more advanced, I'll tell you that pastime. There's also a book called the Ujjala Nilamani, a transcendental account of loving affairs that includes metaphor, analogy, and higher bhakti sentiments. Devotional service and conjugal love is described briefly in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, but it is very elaborately discussed in the Ujjala Nilamani. This book describes different types of lovers, their assistants, and those who are very dear to Krishna. There's also a description of Srimati Radharani and other female lovers, as well as various group leaders, messengers, and the constant associates, as well as others who are very dear to Krishna, are all described. The book also relates how love of Krishna is awakened and describes the ecstatic situation, the devotional situation, permanent ecstasy, disturbed ecstasy, steady ecstasy, and different positions of different dresses, feelings of separation, prior attraction, purvaras, anger and attraction, mana, varieties of loving affairs, separation from the beloved, viparlamba, meeting with the beloved, and both direct and indirect enjoyment between the lover and the beloved. All this has been very elaborately described. It's a very high topic. First, become expert and realize in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Nectar Devotion, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar of Instruction, did I miss anything? Isopanishad, and at least come to the stage of Nishta. What does Nishta mean? There's different stages in devotional service. Ado Shraddhata Sadhu Sangota. In the beginning, you have some initial interest or faith. Maybe there's something here. And then you begin to associate with the devotees. And when you begin to associate with the devotees, guess what happens? Then you begin to do what they're doing. Bhajana Kriya. And as you're doing Bhajana Kriya, that means chanting Hare Krishna, eating prasadam, and avoiding eating food cooked, that's contaminated with someone's consciousness. Consciousness enters into food. I know some people minimize that principle, but it is a very important principle. You eat food cooked by people with good consciousness. Good consciousness means Krishna consciousness. And then when you're doing that, you get rid of the anarthas, unwanted things like lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, fear. Wow. And when you get rid of these things, you become steady as a rock. You don't become like a rock, but you become as steady as a rock. The reason I'm using the example rock is because the Goswamis of Vrindavan, their sadhana was so steady, it's described like the lines on a stone. Stone means rock. Okay. So don't jump to these particular literatures. Very advanced, because if you jump to these literatures, you will think that Krishna's pastimes are like your pastimes with your dog or cat or boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever, monkey friends. Similarly, the Lita Madhava is a description of Krishna's pastimes, and actually there's a wonderful play done on this. I wish I had the completely edited version of that play. No one ever gave them to me. Oh, maybe one day devotees will be so merciful to give me the edited version of that play. Similarly, the Lita Madhava is a description of Krishna's pastimes in Dwarka. These pastimes were made into a drama, and the work was finished in the year 1459, Shakabda. Add about 79 years to that, and you get the actual year that we're accustomed to. Okay? That's not that hard. Anyway, the first part deals with festivities in the evening, the second with the killing of Shankachuda, the third with Madan Srimati Radharani because Krishna leaves Vrindavan, the fourth with Radharani's proceeding toward Krishna, the fifth with the achievement of Chandravali, who becomes Rukmini, the sixth, because you can tell that I know about this, because I've done recitation. Another point is, okay, while we're hearing about these books, I advise you to go on to iskondesiretree.com, and you can hear my recitation, if you go under my name, in the audio section of these different books. Yes. I did a reading, recitation, with music behind it, of these books, Lita Madhava and Vidagdha Madhava. So I'm fully familiar with this book, especially Lita Madhava. That's one of my favorite books. The fifth with the achievement of Chandravali, the sixth with the achievement of Lita, the seventh with the meeting in Navavrindavan. This is really amazing. The eighth, hopefully one day I can get the video of this. The eighth with the enjoyment at Navavrindavan. The ninth with looking over pictures. They're in a cave and Radha and Krishna looking over pictures of their Vrindavan pastimes in the cave. The tenth with complete satisfaction of the mind. That means the meeting of Radha and Krishna, the final meeting of Radha and Krishna in Dwarka as Chandravali. And Chandravali is actually Radharani's expansion in Dwarka and Krishna, who is Dwarkadish at that particular point. The Lagu Bhagavatamrita is described in two parts, is divided into two parts. The first is called Nectar of Krishna, the second, the Nectar of Devotional Service. The importance of Vedic evidence is stressed in the first part. That's epistemology, technical word. And this is followed by a description of the original form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, and descriptions of his pastimes and expansions as Shamsa, personal forms, and Vibhinamsa. That's us. We're Vibhinamsas. According to different absorptions, the incarnations are called Avesha and Tad Ekatma. In other words, they're empowered or directly Krishna. The first incarnation is divided into three Purushavatars. We talked about this before. Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, and Shiradakshaya Vishnu. Then there are the three incarnations of the modes of nature, namely Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwara Shiva. They control the modes of nature. All the paraphernalia used in the service of the Lord is transcendental beyond the three qualities of this material world. There's also a description of 25 Leela avatars, namely Chatushana, the Kumaras, Narada, Varaha, Matsya, Yajna, Nara, Narayana, Rishi, Kapila, Dattatreya, Hayagriva, Hangsa, Krishnigarbha, Rishabha, Prithu, Nrsingha, Kurma, Danvantri, Mohini, Vamana, Parashurama, Dasharati, Krishna Dwaipayana, Balaram, Vasudeva, Buddha, and Kalki. There are also 14 Manvantara incarnations. Gets a little technical. Manvantara means the periods during the 14 periods during the day of Lord Brahma. Yajna, Vibhu, Sachasena, Hari, Vaikuntha, Ajita, Vamana, Sarvabhauma, Rishabha, Vivakshena, Dharmakshetu, Sudama, Yogeshwara, and Brihad Bhanu. There are also four incarnations for the four yugas, and their colors are described as white, red, blackish, and black. sometimes yellow for Kali Yuga, as in the case of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There are different types of millenniums and incarnations. For those millenniums, it gets really technical. The categories are called Avesha, Prabhava, Vaibhava, and Para constitute different situations for the different incarnations. According to the specific pastimes, the names are spiritually empowered. I'll explain that in a section. And I'll explain that right now, actually. That if you chant a specific name of God, that's the aspect of God that you associate with by chanting his name. There are also descriptions of the difference between the powerful and the power. That means Krishna and his energy, the Shaktiman and the Shakti, and the inconceivable activities of the Supreme Lord. It gets really technical. Sri Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, and no one is greater than him. He is the source of all incarnations. In the Laghu Bhagavatamrita, there are descriptions of his partial incarnations, a description of the impersonal Brahman effulgence, actually the bodily effulgence of Sri Krishna, the super excellence of Lord Krishna's pastimes as an ordinary human being with two hands and so forth. There's nothing to compare with the two-armed form of the Lord. In the spiritual world, Vaikuntha Jagat, there is no distinction between the owner of the body and the body itself. Aha. Another statement that verifies what I just said. No distinction between the owner of the body and the body itself. There's no duality. Dvandvar vimuktar sukaduka sangyar. In the material world, the owner of the body is called the soul, and the body is called the material manifestation of the Vaikuntha world. However, there is no such distinction. Lord Sri Krishna is unborn, and his appearance as an incarnation is perpetual. That means it's always happening, either here in a particular incarnation, some other universe in a particular incarnation, or as Prabhupada said, it's a routine spool. In other words, right now, Krishna is appearing in Mathura, being born. Right now, Krishna is being born in Mathura in some universe. Krishna's pastimes are divided into two parts, manifest and unmanifest. So if you go to Vrindavan, his pastimes are aprakata, which means unmanifest, but they're there, but they're not manifest to your material vision. For example, when Krishna takes his birth within this material world, his pastimes are going to be manifest. However, when he disappears, one should not think that he is finished, for his pastimes are going on in an unmanifested form, or unmanifest form, sorry. Maybe unmanifested would be better, but anyway, unmanifest form. So, for example, if you go to Vrindavan, his pastimes are happening right now, but they're not manifest to you. If you think they're going to be manifest to you, you are wrong. Because they're unmanifest, but they're going on. And you can feel their presence, but you won't see those pastimes right now. Varieties of humors, that means the rasas, however enjoyed by the devotees of Lord Krishna during his manifest pastimes. After all his pastimes, here is the statement by Prabhupada, in Mathura, Vrindavan and Dwarka are eternal and are going on perpetually in some universes. Very, very important point. So we're going to stop here and we can take questions. Let me see, we did. Let me just write this down. 34 to 42 today. Because all these videos, or these classes, or all these readings, whatever you call it, are being posted simultaneously to YouTube. And you can watch them later on, and I label them after the class so people can identify them. 34 to 41 we did today, sorry. And tomorrow is 42. Okay, so we'll stop sharing and we will allow you all to take questions. Let's have some people who don't ordinarily participate or aren't ordinarily in our classes. Because we have quite a few more people tonight, 34. I've started posting the link now every day to the WhatsApp group, so because I think that's why we're getting more people. So, who has questions? Prangovind, you always ask questions. Give someone else the opportunity. Unless no one else.
Hare Krishna Gurudev.
Hare Dev, okay.
Can you speak about this Koloka Matmya Nirupana book?
It glorifies Koloka Vrindavan and Gokul Vrindavan. I am not that expert in this book.
Okay.
I am expert in the books that Prabhupada gave us. I mean, I'll tell you which books I've actually read and studied thoroughly. In the books that Prabhupada gave us, such as The Nectar of Devotion, which is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the Bhagavad Gita, also expert in the Mahabharata.
So who's a translator, Gurudev? You said someone translated, right?
The Mahabharata?
No, this Goloka Mahatmya Nirupana.
I don't remember. But Mahabharata was translated by a person named Ganguly in India. It's an old translation of the Mahabharata. I'm also very expert in the Valmiki Ramayana. That's one of my fields of expertise. I'm a Ram Bhakta, also Krishna Bhakta too. I am also know thoroughly Lalita Madhava, Vidagdha Madhava, and Muktacharita, and some of the other books by Rupa Goswami. But I to tell you the truth, I haven't read every single book of the Goswamis and every single book of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I've read a lot of his books, like Chaitanya Shikshamrita and other books by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Oh, Jivadharma, of course, I've read. So the Goswamis and our acharyas, such as Bhaktivinoda Thakur, of course, is Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, have published so many literatures, I cannot claim to have read all of them, and I cannot make the claim that I'll be able to read all of them thoroughly in this lifetime. But basically, I do keep reading Srila Prabhupada's books over and over again because everything is there. One realization I've gotten from reading Prabhupada's books is that everything is there in Prabhupada's books. I'm not missing anything from Prabhupada's when I read Prabhupada's books. Not missing anything. So, sorry about the Goloka Mahatmya. That's, I just can't get to all those books. I'm a limited jiva soul. I've not realized my Vishnu Tattva expansion yet. No, never. But you can never become Vishnu Tattva. I am jiva tattva, tiny 1/10,000th the tip of the hair. And 1/10,000th the tip of the hair, and as you get older, the hair falls out anyway. So, that's a joke. So, all right, who else has a question? Someone who hasn't asked a question yet.
Hi, Krishna Guru Maharaj, can I ask a question?
Yes, sounds like Jai Radhika. I don't see you, but sounds like you are loaded voice. Okay,
yes.
So what's your question?
Yes, please accept my humble obeisances to you, Gurudev. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. At the beginning of today's reading, we discussed about the devotional services, and you've mentioned very nicely, there's a point for us to remember, that if one does not follow Vedic literature properly in doing devotional service, they might or might not, they might make offenses, or probably their devotional service might not be accepted. And it is also like mentioned in, I think, 10 to 3 as well, that, you know, if making offenses or not following the Vedic literature properly in doing devotional service, our devotional service gets frozen. It just freezes. So, it freezes. So I was actually thinking it's just like unfair as well. Like, you know, because I do see, you know, we see often, you know, devotees sometimes make offenses that they keep on doing devotional service. So I was thinking, you know, I mean, it'd be nice if they are made aware so that they're not encouraged, and also so they all can joyfully perform their devotional service. So, yeah. So why?
If they're made aware. Actually, the best way to understand how to follow the Vedic injunctions is to follow what? Srila Prabhupada's example.
Yeah.
Because if you really start reading the Vedas and trying to figure it out for yourself, as stated in the Mahabharata, what is it? Tarko Pratishta Shrutina, Vivina. You cannot do it because the Vedas are so variegated. You can find an injunction to justify anything. You can find an injunction to eat a goat and offer it to the goddess Kali on the full moon night and Gaur Purnima. So you can find there's different shlokas for different folks. So therefore, Acharya Upasana. So we follow Srila Prabhupada. If we follow Srila Prabhupada's example of, you know, different rules and regulations, we know we're all right. Just like when I do deity worship, I don't read so many fancy books. I just find out what Prabhupada did when he did deity worship. I use the same mantras Prabhupada did, and I know him all right.
But
I don't criticize Vaishnavas.
Yes, yeah. But this is the point, right? Like, there's so many devotees. You know, there are actually devotees that they have different motives to devotional service. And
it's okay.
Yeah. But this is what I'm thinking, you know, they should be made aware somehow, not that just let going their devotional service or something. Somehow they should be
made aware of what?
Yeah, like, you know, that they are not following the Vedic
Vedic thing you're talking about? I mean, be specific.
So I was just saying in general, so if a person make offenses but then they are not stopped in doing devotional service
obviously offending Vaishnavas or offending the deities.
Yes.
All they have to do is, our Vedic injunctions are contained in the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada's instructions. We don't need to get into other injunctions in the Vedas. Everything we need to know is within Prabhupada's books as far as following the Vedas.
That's true.
So, I mean, obviously the worst offense is to blaspheme the devotees of the Lord who have dedicated their lives to propagating the holy name of the Lord. So we shouldn't criticize other devotees.
But they are not stopped in doing devotional service, is what I was trying to emphasize. So they just get encouraged to keep doing.
Everybody should be encouraged, but obviously if someone is smoking ganja, they shouldn't be worshiping the deity. Or someone's breaking the four regular principles, they shouldn't be worshiping the deities. Or someone is not chanting their rounds every day, they shouldn't be worshiping the deities.
And how would they know? This is what I'm trying to say.
How would they know if they're chanting?
How would they know if they're either breaking, they're doing seva aparad, Vaishnava aparad, not following regulative principle,
It's pretty easy to find out if you're not following the regulative principle.
They keep doing devotional service. Like, I mean,
well, it's sin, anyway,
but then at personal level, you know, the
devotees should help them. We should be compassionate, not rejecting people, not uncompassionate. If someone is struggling, you know, we help them. We don't condemn anyone. It's between them and Krishna.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Krishna is supposed to stop them or make them aware in a way.
Why is Krishna supposed to stop them? Where does Krishna ever say, "I stop people from doing nonsense"?
or not nonsense, actually stopping them from doing further devotional service, because it freezes, right? So we want everybody to do devotional service joyfully. Krishna accepts their devotional services, but. If they keep on doing it, but it's not accepted, so this is what I was thinking. It's just like
but they shouldn't stop doing it. If one's committing offenses on chanting, the remedy is to continue chanting.
That's the other point I was thinking. Yeah, perhaps. Okay.
Yeah, we always want to continue people to. We want to encourage people to continue devotional service and stop whatever mistakes or offenses they're making.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Gomesh. Thank you.
Okay, so someone else who doesn't ask questions. Someone asked me a question, but that's a private question. So who else wants to ask a question who doesn't normally ask a question? Gopal, you normally ask questions. I see you all the time. Who else
I'll
is
wait.
There? Gopal always asks questions.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Oh, Hari Bol, Joe.
Hari Bol. Yes, nice to see you. You could call me Jiva Shakti. That'd be Dasi now.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah.
What is it? Dina Shakti?
Jiva Shakti.
Jiva Shakti, wow.
Yeah.
That's
from
pretty
David
good.
David Mita Swami. Thank you, yes.
Congratulations, Jiva Shakti.
Yes.
So fun. Happy to hear that.
Yeah. I'm happy to been blessed by Krishna's mercy.
Where's Dev Amrita Maharaj now? I thought he's in Australia.
He's in Melbourne at the moment.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you took initiation while he was there in New Zealand, right?
Yes.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good. Congratulations. I'm very happy to hear that.
Thank you. Yes. I had a question, which I've had for a while, which is around, you were saying about, you know, how Prabhupada said Krishna's pastimes play like a film spool, you know, kind of repeating in different universes. So because Krishna likes infinite variegatedness, does it repeat exactly the same, or is it different demons, different, like a film is the same every
well,
time it plays?
It's actually variegated.
Yeah, I assumed it was, yeah.
It's very, you know, Krishna does things differently each time. It's not just like exactly like a film, but, you know, Lord Rama appears. Sometimes Sita is kidnapped from the Dandakaranya forest. Sometimes she's kidnapped from the palace. But there's always Ram and Sita and Hanuman and my good old buddy Ravan.
Yeah.
There's always the same characters. Yep. So there's variety.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, Krishna likes infinite variety, and in the spiritual world there's infinite variety too.
Yeah.
It's a good question. I wouldn't want to be caught in an infinite loop.
No, that's what I assumed you wouldn't want to. Yeah. Groundhog Day.
Like, there was once a movie, maybe someone remembers that movie. Someone could write it in the message, where someone kept repeating the same day every day.
I think it's Groundhog Day.
Oh, Groundhog Day. Thank you. You've enlightened me. Let me write this down. Groundhog Day. I gotta watch it. I've never watched it. I just heard other people refer to it. So we highly recommend it. No, we don't highly recommend it.
Just one quick last question. You said you're an expert on Ramayana. I'd love to read the Ramayana with my little one. Which version would you recommend?
I would recommend ISKCON's abridged version by Krishna Dharma.
Okay. Krishna Dharma.
Krishna Dharma is one he published. It's an ISKCON version. The full version of the Ramayana is quite technical. It's a Valmiki Ramayana, and it's very large. And most of the words in the translation, the good translations, are in Old English, which you'd have, even you or I would have trouble in understanding. It's
okay.
Like almost like Shakespearean English. It's written in. That's the one I've read many times.
Krishna Dharma.
Krishna Dharma. Just remember the name. Krishna Dharma. He published an edition. I think the BBT has that book. Or you can just look it up on the internet.
Okay.
And the temple probably has a copy of that book.
Yep, lovely. Thank you.
That's perfect. Anyway, congratulations, Jiva Shakti.
Thank you, Maharaj.
That's a nice name.
Yeah.
All these devotees get nice names. I just got called after an alcoholic beverage. You know? Everybody else gets a nice Krishna name. Anyway, so. All right, who else doesn't ask questions who I haven't seen? There's a lot of devotees here I haven't seen for a while. Who else wants to ask a question? Otherwise, we'll call on our old favorites.
I have a question. I know I do ask questions sometimes.
All right.
We were just reading, and of course we hear this all the time, we were just reading in the 18th chapter that a devotee isn't concerned about his own pleasure. He's only concerned about Krishna's pleasure. And I mean, that's, you know, basic 101 Krishna consciousness. But isn't it that if Krishna's happy with us, one way that we'll know is that we feel happy?
That's an interesting question. If Krishna is happy with us, our guru will tell us that Krishna is happy with us. How about if I leave it at that one? Because sometimes we can feel like intense pressure and, you know, an anxiety. And then Krishna can be very happy with us that we're taking that anxiety for him. And of course, if you're a pure devotee, anxiety taken for Krishna is ecstasy. But if you're an aspiring devotee, sometimes anxiety taken from Krishna is anxiety. So the way we know that Krishna is pleased with us, regardless of any other factor, is that the Vaishnavas and the guru, or the guru's not around, they're pleased. Another way you can tell is when the deity smiles at you, when Krishna smiles at you. I probably one time was asked by the pujari, is Krishna happy or pleased? And Prabhupada said, you know, you're the pujari. You know, he answered in a very interesting way. So sometimes we can feel, like the gopis, they can feel extreme anxiety. And Krishna's pleased with them for that anxiety. Now, I probably just discouraged a whole bunch of people from becoming Krishna conscious at this point. And the gopis say, you know, that if my unhappiness gives Krishna happiness, then my unhappiness is my happiness. So basically, I mean, on a higher platform, it's love, yeah. But it's not really the happiness that we ordinarily think of in terms of happiness in this mundane realm. It's of a different quality. You know, like the other day, someone let me drive their nice car. And I felt extremely happy. You know, is it? Anyway. It was actually Chumbagalata. That's why she's laughing. She let me drive her car. And it was a really nice car, you know, something I've been dreaming about for the last 50 years in Krishna consciousness. And I felt extremely happy, thinking, Krishna must be blessing me. But that happiness, also, you know, I felt extremely happy when I pushed my foot down on the accelerator and it went from 0 to 60 in 2 seconds. I felt extremely happy. And I thought that Krishna was blessing me, but Krishna might be just laughing at me. He might just be saying, you know, you nonsense. What do you think of? You know what he's thinking? So I was happy, but Krishna could have been just like saying, you rascal. You rascal. So, you know, a lot of things make us happy, and it's hard to distinguish between material happiness and spiritual happiness for a conditioned soul. You know, just like when I got on an airplane the other day, first time I've flown in a year, I felt ecstatic when I heard the engines roar and we took off into the air. It was like going back to Godhead. But I can't say that happiness indicates that Krishna is happy with me. I was thinking, when can I fly to Fiji? I was thinking of getting my commercial pilot's license so I can get my own plane and fly to Fiji. Or a boat. Actually, I used to go out in the ocean in boats. I could actually take a sailboat and sail to Fiji. Anyway, oh, Krishna. Because we are conditioned souls, we have different tendencies. One is the tendency to make mistakes, tendency to be illusioned, tendency, imperfect senses, and unfortunately, tendency to cheat. So we have to be very careful and verify things by Guru Shastra Sadhu. Guru Maharaj, is Krishna happy with me? No! He's angry with you. But I'm feeling so happy. Ha! Krishna's ready to appear as Lord Nrisingadev to tear you to bits. He says, this much away from appearing from the pillar in your home. Anyway, I'm happy. All right, so on that happy note, you know, without delaying it further, I'll end this with a getting is good. We'll see everybody tomorrow evening. All glories to Swami Gaurav. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.